Hi, everyone. Have we got another episode for you, The Road to Revenue and Happiness, every Friday. And this time I'm going to teach you how to turn your setbacks into setups, give you a play-by-play on how to change your perspective of the field and create the resilience that you need. Next Friday is BYOQ, Bring Your Own Questions. We'll do a full hour of questions and answers. So you bring the questions, I'll bring the answers. Please come and join me every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Catch the replays right here. To register, you can text me anytime at 949-298-2905 or email me at david@dmeltzer.com. Come join me. It's free. It's me. Now it's you for you.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
This week's topic is setbacks to setups. And I'm going to help you work through how we can make every single setback in your life a setup for something bigger, brighter, and greater for you in this expansive universe. Remember, fill out the Q&A. We got plenty of time for Q&A for everyone here. Fill it out down there. Please, if you want the exercise guide to this training, it's free. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, or text me, join our community, 949-298-2905. Also, feel free to ask for my free book. I'll give you my book for free as well. These trainings are free. If you have any questions, let's put them in the Q&A section. We'll get right to it. All right, setbacks to setups. The first step of understanding why everything is a set up, not a setback, is if we know our what. And the reason is that when we have our eye on what we want, when we have our ears, our nose, our mouth, our touch, our beliefs, the aggregate of what I call faith on what we want. We have faith in getting what we want. Then the trajectory of back and forth, of forward and back, don't mean as much. Because if we have faith, which is the elasticity that creates the pressure to spring us forward, and the more faith that we have, the tighter the band is as we pull back, right? Do you think the pebble in the slingshot feels like it's set back or being set up to propel itself where it wants to go, right? You are the pebble, faith is the band, and we need to know what we're aiming for. And if we know what we're aiming for, we can get more and more excited, right? And have more and more faith, which only strengthens the band, which will propel us farther. Not only will it propel us farther, but remember, the universe is expanding in front of us. And so we'll go even farther. So the first thing to understand about what is, as things are happening, we know, one, we're not where we want to be, right? We're where we are, but we want to be somewhere better. And we're going to angle towards somewhere better, that what, and know and have faith. And the more faith that we have, that we're going to be in a position even better than that, will determine the elasticity, the strength of that band, in order to propel us at what? An accelerated speed in the right trajectory towards what we want. And so how do we do that? Once again, we start and take inventory of our own values. We take inventory of our values to figure out that what. And we know that we need to know the what consciously of what we're going to think, say, and do. We need to know the what subconsciously of what our beliefs are telling us. And we also have to know our unconscious competencies, that quantum understanding that's been handed down, not only from great-grandparents, grandparents, the parents to us, but from even past lives to us, of what our potential is, what trajectory we should be set forth upon. Right? If we know our what and we know our potential of what, then we can have more faith, that aggregate of what we think, say, do, and believe in the unconscious competencies, in order to get there more rapidly and accurately, or even shoot past it. You are the stone. The rubber band is faith. And we need to figure out how to maintain excitement, inspiration when we're getting pulled back or set up to go farther, not set back. The less faith that we have, the more it becomes a setback and the less speed in which we'll go forward, and we never may even get back to where we started, or we may continually get right back to where we started if we don't shift our faith, if we don't increase our faith through motivation, transition, and inspiration. And we have to understand the variables of setbacks in order to effectuate that propelling of the trajectory that we want. And so one of the variables is how far back can I be put and still have the faith to apply the pressure or the resistance or the elasticity in order to spring me even farther forward. So take Jack Canfield, for example. Jack Canfield, one of my mentors, I'm blessed to write a book with him called Unstoppable, Creating the Life You Love. He wrote a much better book called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Jack had the perspective that every single publisher that he talked to was not a setback, but it was setting him up for something even greater. And as he continued through the first 20, 40, 60, 80, and 100 publishers all telling him no, he knew through faith that this was going to be one of the greatest books ever, one of the greatest franchises ever. And all it was doing was inspiring him more to tighten the resistance of the band and keep his eye on creating one of the greatest franchises in books history. It's over a half a billion books sold. But yet it took him over 112 publishers until he finally got it published. He needed to have the faith, right, as a variable. But as he went back, he saw it as, oh, this is setting me up better. This is setting me up better, right? It's just like I get to do or I got to do, right? Is it a set up or a set back? This is setting me up for something better. That needs to be part of your mantra. That has to be part of your philosophy. And the only way that we can truly think, say, do, and believe and have and shift our energy of a set up is that we know our values, right? Our values of what we want today, right? Which is to be in a trajectory to somewhere better tomorrow, but know that we're here today, not exactly where we want to be, but I'm happy to be here. And through that trajectory of my values, personal values, what's personally valuable to me, experiential values, what do I want to experience in this setup, and my giving values, how am I of service or value, even though this isn't where I want to be, where others would determine or laugh or scoff or make fun of me that I am failing or making mistakes or setting myself back farther away from what I want. Sometimes farther away from what you want is a better direction, only if two things. It's better to go back and set yourself up if, one, you have more faith, because that resistance that faith causes, that rubber band around you as a pebble, will shoot you farther and faster than someone moving forward without that resistance. And two, because it's making you stronger, and that faith is making, it's creating that resistance that's going to pull you and push you forward. But more importantly, it allows you to take the time to know the exact angle to take to get what you want. It allows you the time, it allows you the perspective to see what angle it is. So you're starting in the place where you don't want to be, but you're angling towards the perfect trajectory of where you would be better being, right? Not where you thought you wanted to be, but somewhere even better. All determined upon this aggregate of thinking, saying, doing, believing, and the unconscious competencies of your personality traits, your characteristics, your obsessions and addictions, all of them directed towards exactly what you want. So what people don't think about is the recoil, right? They're just thinking about going in the wrong direction. I'm always thinking about, it doesn't matter back or forward. It matters faith and what I want and how I'm angling towards what I want, not whether I'm going back or forward. Sometimes going and setting up more resistance and allowing yourself to see the whole field and going towards what you want is far more productive, accessible, and gracious than going straight forward towards something and finding out, oh, this wasn't what I want. I didn't see the whole field. I only had my ball on this. I only had my emotions tied to the outcome. Now come, I'm not happy when I get there. You need to realize I'm not where I want to be, but I'm happy where I am. I will angle and recoil where I want to be because the universe is also expanding, and I'm going to, because the universe is expanding in front of me, right? It's expanding. I'm going to be somewhere better. I'm going to cover even more ground. And that's so important, but only can be determined if you take inventory of your values. So what are the things of how we apply personal experiential giving and receiving values? One, at all times, no matter whether you're going backwards or forwards, you have to have the faith to create the resistance, the resilience, in order to shoot you even farther. And what creates that faith, number one, is gratitude. Gratitude for where you want to be and where you are. Just two things. You need to find the light, the love, and the lessons of where you're at in alignment, synergistically, with gratitude the light, love, and lessons of where you want to be. That's simple. At all times, because that will strengthen the resilience of the elasticity of that great band of faith that shoots us and propels us at exponential rates and exponential growth towards what we want. The second thing is I need to forgive myself for being here, right? I need to forgive myself. I need to have peace at where I'm at, but also forgive myself for what? Wanting to be somewhere else. Trying to what? Enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent pursuit of my own potential. Too many people don't forgive themselves for wanting more, to wanting to be more of more than enough, to want to be more in an expansive universe. They feel like they're not worthy. They feel like they're an imposter. They feel like they have to create shortages, voids, and obstacles, self-sabotage if they want something better. And you don't have to. You can forgive yourself for wanting more. You can be at peace with what you want and be grateful for it as well. You need to be grateful for where you are and where you want to be. You need to be forgiving where you are and for where you want to be. And of course, most importantly, to take control of your trajectory, take control of where you want to go and where you are, you must be accountable. You must ask yourself, what did I do to get here, forward or back? What did I do to get here? And the way that we find the clarity, balance, and focus of where we want to shoot ourselves, what trajectory we want to give ourselves, we need to be accountable. We need to be accountable. We need to be accountable saying, what did I do to get myself right here? And where am I going to go? What lessons am I supposed to learn in order to get where I want to go or even past there? So how do we do that? Well, it's a three-step process of number one, we need to be motivated. And the reason we need to be motivated is if we want to be somewhere and we find out that we're not going in the right direction, we have made a miscalculation, we didn't know what we didn't know, we didn't ask for help, we created interference, voids, shortages, obstacles, we need motivation. Right? We need motivation to be grateful, forgiving, and accountable. We need motivation to get back up, to get started again. We need motivation in order to do that. And so knowing that we start with motivation, we need to have the tools in place to motivate us when what others perceive as a setback, to transform it through our perception of gratitude, accountability, and forgiveness to make it a set up. To allow yourself, as much as you're going back, to feel so grateful and excited that you're going to have more power, more resilience and elasticity, and be able to see the whole field of all the different options of where you want to go and who you want to throw the ball to. Right? We want to be able to do that. And the only way that we do that is we start with motivation, knowing that that's going to get us up, get us back up, get us started, get us restarted. Now, what do we use to transition as the energy rolls out of motivation? Right? Everyone gets excited at the beginning. Everybody gets excited at the end. But how do we transition to be inspired, which will get you there, inspiration, in spirit, enthusiasm, connected to, without the interferences, void, shortages, corrosions, to that great powerful source of elasticity, faith? How do we get there? How do we transition that? We have to utilize the habit machine. In order to get there, we have to start effectuating the habit machine. And we have to, when I say the habit machine, here's the step-by-step procedure of the habit machine. Number one, you need to lower the bar, right? So if I'm pulling myself back, I need to lower the bar. I do not have to shoot for the stars. I can shoot for the moon. I can just put my tennis shoes on if I want to work out, right? If you can't be a student in your calendar every day for minimum 10 minutes, then just look at your calendar to start. To say, I'm going to open my calendar every day. You'll get to a minimum of 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute. You'll get there. But in order to transition, you need to take exponential effect of compound interest. You need to lower the bar. You got to take that motivation of getting started, getting back started, getting up, getting restarted, and transition into a habit, utilizing the habit machine of something that you need to do every day. A habit is something that you need to do every day. Not that they're able just to do. But it's like you wake up and I am craving to eat well. I am craving to go work out. I am craving kindness and good deeds or whatever habits, gratitude. Oh my God, if you miss saying thank you, oh my God, I miss Tracy, I miss doing, then you know you have a habit. And the only way to get there is to transition by utilizing the systematic approach of lowering the bar, getting yourself in the motive of doing things every single day and allowing them to accelerate and grow. There's something called the zero effect. And the zero effect is what creates the clog or the interference in the habit machine. So what happens is that we start to do something and every day we get exponential compound interest. We get extra results. So day one, you get X to the first power. Second day you do it, you get X to the second power. Third day you do it, you get X to the fourth power, and so on. Now what happens is if you miss a day, before this is something you need to do, before it's part of inspiration, without any interference, shortages, voids, and obstacles, when it's just clearly connected to this great flow that comes through you to others, if you zero yourself out, remember, X to the zero, one day of not doing it is one, right back to the beginning. X to the zero is one. You're right back to the beginning. I see this in dieting all the time. People will diet 31 days, and they will zero themselves out two or three times during the month. So basically, almost the entire month for every meals, they've followed a strict diet. They have utilized the habit machine. But yet again, all it takes is one burger, one sundae, one candy bar, and you get X to the zero power. So after 16 days, you're back to day one. After 21 days, day one. So at the end of the month, you only get a minimum, if any, result because you're back to one. If you would have stuck to it at a lower bar and just said, you know what, I'm going to eat 1/8 less, and then it moves to 1/4 less, and maybe by the end of the month you're at 1/2 less, you're going to get exponential results because of motivation, transition, and inspiration. Understanding the difference is so important, especially when we consider things as setting it up. Considering things as a setup instead of a setback is just like saying, I get to do something, I don't got to do it, right? I don't have to do anything, I get to do this. You need gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability in order to find that light, that love, and that lesson in everything. In order to see that you get to do everything is just like getting to see that this is a setup for something better. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm happy where I am because it's setting me up to get where I want to be or even somewhere better because the universe is expanding in front of me. And so how do we do that? Number one, enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. In other words, keep pushing or pulling and adjusting your trajectory to what you want by taking inventory of your values, asking and attracting, being a student of your calendar, doing things now, and practicing ending fear. We can keep pushing and pulling, right, in whatever direction, but we must adjust according to our values, personal, experiential, giving, and receiving. And the second thing in order to do that isn't to be self-serving in the pull and push. It's actually to be of service and of value, to be abundant, to receive and show up to help others. Because that's what will transition your motivation to inspiration when your purpose, your why is coordinated within the context of the flow in order to help other people. This is what will take that self-serving startup, get back up, get started, get restarted perspective of a setup when we apply it to being of service or of value in asking for help of others, being in the flow, showing up and helping others. Showing up is asking for help from others. Helping others is obviously providing service or value to them as well. The third thing that we want to do is we want to focus on what we can control. So obviously, if we're putting put into the resistance, the elasticity that's caused by faith, if we're being put into that, then we want to know, as we have to adjust our trajectory towards what we want or something even better than what we want, we only want to utilize the skills, knowledge, and desire that's in our control. We don't want to utilize things that we don't control because then we can't understand where we're aiming. And we then might accelerate in the wrong trajectory. And even though we have such great faith and we put in the effort, we thought, we said, we did, and believed all the right things, we could end up way outside of the direction that we want. So you need to remind yourself that you have control of your mindset, right? The mindset control of this is a setup, not a setback. Your heart set, right? We control our feelings. I'm excited about what I get to do, not I am bummed about what I got to do. And we use the control of what we think, say, do, or believe, the inputs that we have, in order to accelerate and exponentially do that using the habit machine, the X to the first, second, third, fourth, without zeroing ourselves out, without taking ourselves back to number one. We want to make sure that we do that. And in order to do that, your elasticity, your rubber band needs to be as tight as it can. It needs to have as much power as it can. It needs to not only control you from going farther and farther back, but also shoot you farther and farther forward. And how do we do that? Through faith and the actions caused by our faith. And faith is simply the aggregate of what we think, say, do, and believe, and understanding our unconscious competency, our potential of what are our personality traits, what are our own characteristics, what are our obsessions and our addictions, and how can we align them, make them synergistic or supplementary to the trajectory in which I think I want to go, knowing that I'm not where I want to be, but I'm happy where I am, but I also know that I'm going to angle towards what I want and end up somewhere better. Fifth, you need to surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. You need to be able to surround yourself with that aggregate of what you want to be. You need to find people who are going to help pull you back so you shoot farther, help you aim, allow yourselves to control more by allowing yourself to have others around you that have more control. Allow yourself to surround yourself with those others who will encourage you, who not only motivate you, but will allow you to transition your motivation into inspiration, will allow you when you just don't have anything left to say, you can do it. Come on, one more rep, whatever it is. You need to find people who are in line with the energy and emotion that you have, not deterring from it, separate from it, inferior, superior from it. We are all one, and you want to be around those people who best signify where you want to be or get, or those that can help you get there. Number six, very important. You can handle more than you think. Stop limiting yourself. As that faithful rubber band pulls you back the little pebble towards what you want, don't stop from pulling you back. Don't stop from aiming in the right trajectory. Don't stop believing and saying and thinking and doing and all the other things that are available to aggregate that faith. Don't stop. Don't limit yourself and say, I'm not going to make it all the way there. I'll just settle for here. Look, you cannot out-ask the universe. You cannot out-ask anybody. You need to believe beyond belief. Nothing extraordinary happens without extra. Only ordinary happens, and only ordinary people give you ordinary things and believe ordinary things for you. Meaning, just because somebody wants something for you doesn't mean it's extraordinary. You determine what's extraordinary. You determine your limitations. Only you. The universe is infinity. It's abundant. It's forever. The universe is there. You can't out-ask it. You can't even fathom how big it is, let alone how far you can go. So work on figuring out how far you can go and how big it is by having faith, by literally handling and telling yourself, I can handle so much more. In other words, do not live with a why me attitude. Do not live with a try me attitude. Live with a why me attitude. I'm going to get that wrong. I'm going to say it one more time. Don't live with a why me attitude, live with a try me attitude. I can handle more than I think. I am not going to limit myself. I am an abundant, expanding being in this unbelievable universe. The seventh one is my favorite, right? You need to have the common denominator that all successful millionaires, billionaires, entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities, entertainers, all those people that I meet, all those people that you find on my playbook, all those people there have one thing in common. You must be what you can be. Do not make failure an option. Make every single setback a setup. You have to switch these things in your mind. There is no more why me. There's only try me. There is no more I got to do something. There's only I get to do something. And there's definitely no more setbacks in your life. Only setups with the full vision of the field, the elasticity of faith that's going to project you into the expansive universe exactly on target of not only where you want to be to where somewhere better with that faith. When you recoil, you will recoil to a farther, further, better, and brighter place using gratitude, empathy, accountability, and inspiration. And finally, when you do that, it will give you confidence, control. It will give you clarity in what you're doing. It'll allow you to stay balanced as they pull you back and shoot you forward. And it will allow you to stay focused on the target at hand, not only focused to where you want to be, but beyond it, because the universe is that expansive and so are you. You want to create compound interest in your life. You want to shift your perspective. No more try me. No more. I'm sorry. No more why me. No more why me. No more. Gotcha. And finally, no more setbacks. There's only try me, I get to do, and the compound interest of acceleration and growth that's caused by faith, the aggregate of what we think, say, do, and believe, and the unconscious competencies that we have. Every time I feel I'm moving backwards, I know it's just setting me up to go even farther in the trajectory that I want to go, allowing me to see the whole field, allowing me to be where I want to be and happy with it, but know that I'm not where I want to be and angle towards where I want to be so I can go beyond it. Turn every setback into a setup, utilizing all of these different ways. Please, let's add some Q&A in here. I look forward to answering these. Reach out if you want my book, The Exercises, all for free, 949-298-2905, david@dmeltzer.com. All right, let's start with the questions, get right to it. How to deal with triggers when they arise? Figure out your beliefs that make you feel that way. So awareness is very key. Right? So a trigger is something that creates an acceleration in the wrong direction. It creates you to be on the wrong trajectory. A trigger is something that puts you into ego-based consciousness. So we need to practice identifying those triggers. You need to practice identifying those triggers. In order to do that, you need to set a baseline every day. You need to wake up in the morning and set a baseline and say, this is good. This is where I want a high frequency, a baseline for my day. And when I feel that I'm not happy like I am now, right? Because remember, you only get one action in the day. Everything else is a reaction to your first action. So my reaction to the first action has to be to equal to or greater than the frequency that I took my first action in. Therefore, I meditate in the morning, very first thing, to find my highest frequency, to find my highest action of the day in order to propel past that, to have the resilience and faith to propel past that. In order to do that, I have to identify each time that I'm not on target, each time that I feel not at that baseline or that trajectory, I need to identify what those triggers are. For me, in the ego-based consciousness, it's the need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be inferior, the need to be superior, the need to be guilty, angry, anxious, frustrated, all of those different needs. I keep on practicing and identifying those. And sometimes it takes me a year in the past. Sometimes it would take me months, sometimes weeks, sometimes days, sometimes hours, then minutes. And now I'm practicing. It takes moments to realize, gosh, I'm off of my baseline. I'm not in the highest trajectory, the highest frequency. I am in the wrong trajectory. I'm creating interference, voids, and shortages for myself. And then you can figure out how those beliefs make you feel that way by simply asking, why do I feel this way? Why am I so angry? Oh, I'm not angry. I'm scared. Oh, I'm not guilty. I'm worthy. Oh, I'm not resentful. They don't owe me anything. They're just defining themselves. I'm not offended. They're defining themselves. My time is only equal to my own time, not to their time. I am not separate. A tree has no branches. Someone asked me, what does that mean? That means everything is unified. That one branch of a tree, if it gets cut off, it hurts the whole tree. The whole tree could die. One root, one stump, one other branch, one leaf, all could lead to the death of the entire tree because we are all connected. And we see that with the pandemic. We are all connected. I'm fighting the pandemic with the greatest virus of all time, happiness. The one that can be spread simply by witnessing my trainings every Friday. The one that can be spread by giving a hug to your family member, or smiling or waving or doing something positive. The one that strengthens you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. The one that will even strengthen your immune system or protect you against any type of virus that is attacking our tree. Our tree of humanity. Our tree of life. You get my free book, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Elizabeth, I see that there. Please, david@dmeltzer.com. Reach out if you want my guide for free, my book for free. Whew. Also, next week's training, we're going to get to the next question, is BYOQ. Next week, bring your own questions. The whole time will just be questions. Everybody join me. And also, the next week is our pitch competition. The pitch competition being picked up for TV as well. So please go to david@dmeltzer.com. Or text me 949-298-2905 to submit and apply for training, for pitch competition. david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you. All right. Hi, Mr. Meltzer. This is my first training session. I appreciate this opportunity. My question is, as a new entrepreneur in business, I'm feeling stuck at the early stages. I'm not getting responses from my ideal client and feel like I'm spinning my wheels. What advice do you have to break through this? Thank you. First of all, segment it. Segment it out. Take a study of how long is it going to take me to get my first two clients to tell two other people to be clients of mine. Once you have that formula, you have the first segment, and then your goal of that first segment is to double it again in less time. So I start, maybe it takes me a year to get two clients, and they get me two clients. I now have four clients. It may take me 11 months to get those four clients to give me another four clients. It may seem like a long time, but in 20 segments, you'll have 2 million clients getting you 2 million clients. You have to detach your emotions from the incremental growth that you're feeling right now, which calls it, an incremental growth in a business is called stuck. So everybody gets that clear. If you're incrementally growing in your business, it's beyond your perception, meaning you don't see it. It's beyond your bank account, so you don't feel it. It's beyond your memory, so you don't remember it. But that is exactly what's happening. You are where you want to be. Stuck is where you want to be. Because if you didn't feel stuck, that means you're not growing. That means you're not growing. And so, looking at that, you're not growing if you don't feel stuck. So feel stuck, stick to it, get better at what you're doing, whatever it takes to get those first two clients to get two clients, make it faster and make it better. And when you stick to that, it will exponentially go. You have to have a rage of persistence and consistency, but a Buddha allowance for it to happen in the right way at the perfect time. And you can do that. So please stick to it. Remember, 99% of the people quit before they're 25% of the way there. Another 99% of the 1% quit before they're 50% there. If you feel stuck, get stuck more. Keep on accelerating and growing. Your first time through this, the key to staying in business is to stay in business. Make money, help people, have fun. I'm having trouble convincing myself that my recent setbacks are positive. That's because you're not looking at the trajectory in the whole field. You're not angling towards what you want or something better, and you probably have limited faith. So let's go back to the aggregate and start thinking, saying, doing, and believing all the right things, making sure that your unconscious competencies, all of your addictions, and all of your different personality traits are aligned with gratitude and finding the light, the love, and the lessons in what you're doing, forgiving yourself when you're not there and when you're not where you want to be, taking accountability for you are by asking yourself, what did I do to put myself into this, what I'm calling a setback, I call it a set up, and two, what am I supposed to learn from it, which will strengthen the resilience of the band that will shoot us even farther. Perfect there. Next, how to help others see their setbacks as setups. Now remember, whenever we're trying to get someone else to see what we want to see, in other words, whenever we're getting someone else to change the way their mindset, heart set, or actions are, that it takes more energy to change one person's mindset, heart set, or actions that have closed their mindset, heart set, or actions than it does to change 1,000 people who have an open heart set mindset and are open to adjustment. So the first step in how to help others see their setbacks as a setup is to see if they're open or they're not. If they're not, don't waste your time. Allow them to far away or fire them. Allow and just to understand why they're so closed-minded and pray for their happiness and understanding that they'll open their mind. So the very first step that will save you more time, resources, and money than anything else is to make a determination if someone has an open or closed mindset, heart set, or action. If they have a closed one, you run away or pray for their happiness. If they're open, then move forward and ask them what they're doing today, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, and make suggestions. Would it help you if blank, blank, blank? Let me go through that one more time, as it's very pragmatic and systematic in the way that you do this. When we are trying to help somebody else understand, change the way they think, say, do, or believe them something, if we are looking at even to change their personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, the first step before you waste any time is to see whether or not they have an open mindset, heart set, and action. If they don't, all you can do is pray for their happiness and try to understand them. If they do, then you ask them, what are you doing today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? And give them a suggestion. Would it help you if whatever it is to help them? All right? That's a very pragmatic, statistically successful way of helping people. Okay? Next. Ooh, sorry. I've been trying to sell my art through Instagram. I pay for ads. I interact with followers, people who like my work and inquire, but I haven't been able to sell yet because I feel the price puts them off. But my art has a great value and I find it difficult to sell for any less. What do you advise? Well, just because you see value doesn't mean that it's articulated correctly, right? Five reasons that people will buy your art. One, your credibility as an artist. Two, the emotional attachment they have to your art. Three, have you articulated the quantitative reasons that it's worth what it's worth? Four, have you articulated the quantitative impact that it'll have on their lives? Five, have you articulated the quantitative capabilities as an artist, your skills, your knowledge, and desire, in order to effectuate what they would find as a value-justified exchange, one where everybody benefits, an abundant exchange? Have you been able to do that? If you haven't been able to sell it, please go and identify one of those five, if not all of those five, and keep on practicing until you have better credibility, a better emotional attachment, and are able to articulate the quantitative values of the reasons people should buy it at the price you want, the impact that it has quantitatively, as well as the capabilities as an artist that you have, knowledge you have, and desire that you have as an artist in order to effectuate what you believe the art to be worth. Remember, what something is worth is not what you believe. What something is worth is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And usually what somebody's willing to pay for something is determined upon those five factors: credibility, emotional attachment, reasons, impacts, and capabilities that you can quantify. And not only quantify, but articulate the quantification so that they can't see any movement, so that they cannot see any reason that they wouldn't want to move forward. Okay? So do that, Laura, and you will sell art like it's ice in a hot day. Next question. What lessons have you learned from your setbacks? Well, first of all, I've learned the most important lesson about gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. I've learned to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my own potential. I've learned that I can't vote for what other people want, or I'll elect what other people want in my life. In other words, I will shoot in the trajectory of where they want me to go. I've also learned, number one, that it's very important to take inventory of my values. Two, that I have to ask, right? I have to be able to ask how I can be of service or value, but even more importantly, do you know anybody that can help me in person, on the phone, via email, social media, radio, print, TV, social, all medias. I need to ask how I can be of service or value, but more importantly, ask, do you know anyone that can help me? I need to utilize the equation of luck. I need to pay attention to the target. I need to give intention to the target, and I will receive the target or beyond the target that I want. I need to do it now. I need to shift my perspective from why me to I got to do to a setback to try me, I get to do, and a setup. And I finally, once again, learned I got to practice ending fear, that nothing shoots me or accelerates me in the wrong direction more than identifying those needs of the ego that we talked about earlier. Need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated. Nothing creates more interference, corrosion. All of these things you can learn. I will give you the guides for free. I will give you the books for free. You can come and ask more questions on BOIOQ next week. Join my pitch competition if you want to join, but you got to reach out to me. If it's free, it's me. Now it's you too. David@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. Please get your family and friends. Reach out to me. Come to the free trainings. We're having fun, aren't we? It is wise to buy a house or keep renting. When can I buy a house? Should I mortgage it? It depends on your timing and your risk tolerance. It depends on the region that you're in, the size of the house, the price of the house, the value of the house, how much the person has overbought or oversold the house, how many improvements are in the house. My biggest suggestion is to be more interested than interesting. Go find someone with the expertise that sits in the situation where you want to buy, that has the knowledge for 30, 40 years, and ask them one simple question. Can you let me know? I'm looking for a house of this type in this area. Can you let me know when it's oversold and then buy it? Take into account the mortgage rate, right? I don't believe we buy a house for price. I believe we buy a house for payment, especially if we're living in it, right? And with interest rates as low as 2.5%, payments are very low, right? So a house today that may cost or have a selling price of so much more, right, may have a payment that's less of a house back in 1978 when interest rates were 17%. So you buy a payment. You need to have, and there's no better place, a mentor for real estate. I mentor so many people on real estate. I mentor so many people about timing and risk tolerance, about being due diligence, about being more interested than interesting, about aggregating the facts to make sure that we are doing a fair assessment of when things are oversought, overbought, or oversold. We're creating margins of millionaires. That's why I guarantee I'm a profit center. Well, it's easy when you're free. So grab, this is there's several different strategies of connected to goodness, capacity to capitalism, game time decision making. Email me, David@TheEmailSir. I'll give it to you. It doesn't have to be hard. I'll help you find a mentor if I'm not the right mentor. I'll help you find one that's sitting in the situation that you want to be in. How do you make a good situation out of a bad situation? Like having to promote an event that will occur on the same day. So there are no bad or good situations. There's just the light, the love, and the lessons that you find in them. All pain is just an indicator that you have a lesson to learn about both of these events. That you have a lesson to learn is the light, the love, and the lesson of what pain is indicating that you can get to a better place, a better situation, so that maybe you don't book two things at once or don't make the same situation worse or better. Remember, you're defining what you see. Forgiveness by itself is a means by which we can unwind that perception that you had of good and bad situations. So you need to determine what lessons there were. Find the light, the love, and the lessons in those by acknowledging the pain that you have right now in promoting both events on the same day and learning from it, allowing yourself to move in a better place, a better trajectory. Instead of saying, why me? Say, try me. Instead of saying, I got to do this, I get to do this. And finally, it is not a setback. It is a setup for something even better. These lessons that you learn may accelerate and compound in exponential interest to something so great in the future. So change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, as my boy Wayne Dyer has taught me. How to come back quickly from a huge emotional low. First of all, let's learn the lessons. We should not have huge emotional lows, and we should not have huge emotional highs. We should have a baseline every day and get into the practice, the habit machine of finding that baseline, of plateauing and growing every single day with little blips up and little blips down by defining neutrality and peace and center by having gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. The more energy that we can utilize towards the trajectory of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, the more that we can use that energy to harness and come through us with appreciation, meaning we are going to appreciate, add value to everything we receive. No longer am I going to give to receive? I am living in a world where I receive so I can give. I'm more passionate, profitable, and purposeful about receiving because I know it's coming through me with the highest intention to give to others. And I forgive myself when I make the mistakes that do. What was your biggest setback that turned into a huge blessing? I think for me, a financial setback of losing everything. I lost over $100 million on paper. I lost a golf course and a ski mountain and houses and cars and motorhomes and boats and everything that I owned. You know, there was moving vans pulling stuff out of my house. I went from everything that I wanted to buy, I could have, to living in a rented house with rented furniture, three daughters under 10 and a pregnant wife with my fourth child. And I learned and experienced the greatest thing, because these things that I'm living, I learned that I had faith. That's all. I learned that there are no setbacks. When I lost everything and got back to ground zero, all the things that I thought were important, money that bought happiness and love, I learned that it was important and I had a great talent and skills in attracting it and still do, but no longer was money going to buy me happiness and love. It was just going to allow me to shop. No longer would I shop for the things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. I was going to shop for things that were aligned with my values, to be of service and value of others. I was going to shop for the right things, and happiness kept coming. What did I learn from the greatest setback in my life? The hugest blessing was happiness. I learned how important happiness was and my ability to share that happiness and empower happiness with others, to find 1,000 people like you that can empower another 1,000 people, to empower another 1,000. In my lifetime, people can laugh at me, scoff at me, make fun of me, I'm going to impact over 1 billion people with happiness. One person at a time, empowering one more person. All it takes is 1,000 people in my lifetime that I can empower to empower 1,000 people, to empower 1,000 people. 1,000 people times 1,000 people is 1 million. 1 million times 1,000 is 1 billion. You can laugh, scoff, make fun of me, but I don't want what you want for me. I'm not going to vote for what you want, shortages, voids, and obstacles, and doubt. I can't even fathom how big and how abundant the universe is. I'm just trying. I'm learning myself. That's what I learned from that setback. How to get back to a calm and centered mindset? Practice. Practice quieting your mind. Every time that you feel the accelerated emotions going up or down, get to center. Get to center. Stop, drop, and roll. Be a ferocious Buddha. When you feel that acceleration up or down, tell yourself to be ferocious and stop. Ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And breathe. Get yourself to neutrality so that you can allow the flow of all that wonderful light, love, and lessons, all the wonderful power to flow through you to others. Like I said previously, a tree has no branches. One branch would never go to war against another branch to kill itself. We are unified. We are the tree of life. We are the tree of humanity. Let's not go to war against each other. Let's unify, be excited, and find the light, the love, and lessons through us for others. What if you have trouble trusting the universe? Practice trusting the universe. If you have trouble trusting the universe, then you need to have faith. You need to look at everything that you're thinking, saying, and doing that are creating that interference to trusting the universe. What has happened in my life, my parents, grandparents, or previous lives in order to effectuate this interference of the ego, this fear that I'm separate somehow, that I can't do it, that I am a why me person, that I am a got to do person, that I am a setback person? We need to do that, and we need to trust the universe. And the more that we practice, the more that we'll trust it. It's just like I had one of the Linda brothers, you know, the High Wire Act and the Ringling Brothers, Barney Billy Circus. And the way that they trust the wire and the team is they start the formation on the ground, then they move it to 2 feet, then 4 feet, then 10 feet, then 20 feet, then 30 feet, then 100 feet. They build that trust. They practice that trust. And we can do the same thing in our relationships and our experiences, our activities we get paid for, activities we don't get paid for. Practice, 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 trusting the universe, having faith, getting the resilience and the tension in that band to shoot us so much farther so that we get excited when we're propelling into a tight band backwards. We're getting geared up to go forward at such an accelerated rate. If our band is loose, we won't be excited as we pull us back because we're not going to go forward. Right? If it's a loose rubber band and they pull us back, you're not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to get excited. But that tension is going to make me really, oh my God, this is going to shoot me so far. I better be aiming correctly. How do you make a possible setup into reality? So the formula to make all possibilities, probabilities, and probabilities your reality is by utilizing, number one, your what. So the mathematical advantage of what, which is why this, where this training started, is that when we don't know what we want and we have no passion or purpose or profitability, when we start thinking about what we want, the what is a mathematical advantage over nothingness. So in other words, once you know a what that you want, it becomes a possibility in your life, a true quantitative advantage over nothing. And if you get clarity, balance, and focus and take inventory of your values and become inspired by attaching what you want to a purpose, right? I want this because these are the reasons, impacts, and capabilities I have. You will take that possibility and increase its mathematical quantitative percentage to what? A probability. So now I went from nothing to possibility by knowing my what. I'm adding my why, and probability is now created from possibility, a mathematical quantitative advantage. And then finally, when you have a probability, there's only one thing that stands in your way, you. All the interference corrosion that you've created between you and your potential of what, between you and that great source of light, love, and lessons, only you. So you need discipline, strategy, and awareness in order to effectuate the flow and appreciation through you using gratitude, accountability, forgiveness, and inspiration. You need to use that to take your probability and make it your perspective, your try me perspective, your set up perspective, your get to do perspective is your reality. Possibilities to probabilities to perspective. That's what we do. That's how we make it your reality. How do we know if the people around us are right? How do we judge that? By the way they make us feel. By the results that we're getting in our life, by what you want, whether they sit in the situation that you want to be in, or they're supporting the situation, supplementary or synergistic to the situation you want to be in. If they are creating interferences, voids, and shortages, if they are bleeding you, cut it. If they are feeding you, feed it. There's so many simple rules in alignment and synergy and supplementation of what you want, but you need to know the what and see how aligned they are with the what. Knowing your values and their values, the alignment between those values and the encouragement and the flow between you two of how you feel. So simple, so difficult, as someone just commented. Absolutely. I get motivated when things I use to perceive as setbacks occur because I know a greater breakthrough is imminent. Exactly. That's the idea of setup, right? That we're in a faithful coil and the recoil will put us in a better place. Even though we know we're not where we want to be, we're happy where we are, not where we want to be, angling towards where we want to be, and knowing we're going to get somewhere better. Unpack that and you'll get it. Can you expand on how to express gratitude for where we want to be? Yeah. Good question, by the way. Too bad it's anonymous. I'd love to know who asked that. Can you expand on how to express gratitude for where we want to be? So many times we don't feel worthy of where we want to be. We create self-sabotage. That's what creates interference and voids and shortages. We feel guilty. We feel offended or resentful. We feel separate, inferior, superior because we want to be. We're fearful, right? When I was a kid, I'm afraid people laugh at me because I want to be a professional football player. And I needed to express my gratitude. I need, because the genius that I am, an expression of that genius, the light, the love, and the lessons, I'm an expression of, and I need to be grateful that I'm the expression of that. And so to express gratitude for where I want to be is to find the light, the love, and the lessons when I feel like I'm being pushed away from it, or in other words, what I used to call a setback. Now with the expression of gratitude, it's a setup to find the light, the love, and the lessons and why this is happening so that I'll go further and faster towards either what I want or even better. That's the expression of genius. I am an expression of genius. I am expression of the source of love, light, and lessons. I am an expression of gratitude in itself. Therefore, I am worthy of everything I receive and everything that I will receive and want to receive, I am grateful for. Most people get in their own way and create resistance, voids, and shortages and don't feel they're worthy. Imposter syndrome, self-sabotage, drugs, alcohol, all types of terrible people and things around you are part of that manifestation and materialization of the inability to express gratitude for where I want to be. How do you make sure that your ego doesn't restrict your ability to learn from your mistakes and develop yourself? Well, it's going to. So acceptance is the first thing. You need to accept that your ego will restrict your ability to learn from your mistakes and develop yourself. And so once you accept the fact that the ego and ego-based consciousness is part of the continuum from conscious, subconscious, and unconscious thought, from a quantum memory, a frequency, a vibration, you will then, once that, you will then be able to apply gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration, and practice ending fear. You'll be able to be a ferocious Buddha where when you're accelerating in the wrong direction, when you're accelerating into the ego, you'll be able to stop as a ferocious person. As a Buddha, you'll be able to drop and breathe to the neutrality, to the higher frequency, to the center that you're at. And then once again, apply that ferociousness to move in the trajectory or to recoil in a quick, fast, firm passion of faith towards what you want or better. You can develop that, but you must be aware that the ego will always restrict your ability and be aware of what those things are in understanding it and trying to get back to center, not in years, months, weeks, days, hours, but moments. And the faster you can get back and the faster you can be aware, the greater the recoil will be and the faster you'll get to where you want or farther and beyond where you want. All right, that's it. We love to end on time. Remember, if you want the free guide, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want to join my pitch show, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want my free book, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want your friends to register for BYOQ next week or the pitch competition, david@dmeltzer.com. Or everybody join my text community, 949-298-2905. I am happy to be here. This is my mission in life, to empower others. To be happy. And remember, most importantly, especially before the weekend, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Love and peace.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.